wonderful class today and be with us every moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Judy had a new replacement. Her name is
okay. We're going to talk about Habakkuk today. And the reason I'm going to play this first video for 1 minute is because it talks about Psalms 137, about the Jewish people mourning because they were in Babylon. And the reason I'm relating that to Habakkuk is because that's what God told Habakkuk. I'm bringing the Chaldeans of Babylon, and they're going to put you in the captivity. But then we're going to talk about that.
Larry, you said yes. Psalms 31?
137.
137.
Yeah.
By the rivers of Babylon, where we went down, a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? So let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O
Now remember something, as we're talking about Babylon, got one more video to play. The world system that we're seeing on the news and everything is called Mystery Babylon. Where's my... Hang on. Oh. The world system is called Mystery Babylon. Just look at Revelation 18 and other places, 19. And so we're going to relate not only the actual captivity, the Jews back there in 600 and something B.C., but we're going to relate it, and Habakkuk saying that his people are going to go into captivity, but we're also going to relate it to Mystery Babylon, which is the world system. Okay? So this is a little different. They're not mourning here. They're actually praising God, which is how Habakkuk ended up this story.
Baby, love, honor, da-da. I live my life.
This is the way that we'll go through the story of Habakkuk, but this is the way Habakkuk ends his story, by praising God. But at the beginning of the story, he's told that his people are going to be raided by the Chaldeans of Babylon, Babylonians. They're going to be put into captivity for 70 years. And without seeing any sign of the promise, he ends up, it says in the Amplified Bible, wild, enthusiastic praise music. Without seeing evidence. And why? Why can we do that? Because Mystery Babylon is this world system. And it puts us in places that we don't like. But you know, there was a man that was born about 2,000 years ago of a virgin. And a few years later, he was crucified. And that man was raised from the dead. If he was resurrected from the dead, he can resurrect everything in our lives. Everything. And that's how we need to live life.
Yes.
This is not your lesson. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This little cartoon here is something I wrote for 8th graders in 1995. I think that was one of the first weeks that Pastor Mark was in the church, and he was actually visiting our class that week.
No, he came back in 92.
Well, somehow he visited the class while we had this going on. He looked at it like that, but he didn't know what to make of it. Picture on the left top. Do you ever feel like God does not care or does not hear your prayer? Habakkuk says, how long will I cry out to you, O God, and you continue to ignore me? This is the whole book right here, really. God says, look around. It is me that is bringing your enemy to battle. They think they're attacking you, but I am in control. What? Why would you do that? You're too good for that. Now, Habakkuk had two complaints, and he kind of put them together in the first paragraph. One was, he was complaining to his people, the Jews at that time, were lawless. And they were. He was a very rare exception, I believe. But then God came back and said, I'm going to bring your enemy. And part of that was Babylonian bringing the enemy was for judgment. Carol was looking up the word 70. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. That's perfect judgment, isn't it? One of the things that 70 means. So Habakkuk says, second, down on the left. Oh man, I have blown it talking to God like that. I guess I just need to stuff my doubts and my hurt. You know, God made it very clear in his Gospels through Jesus that Jesus wants us to ask why on certain things. There's many stories. Jim Sindler was talking about it. I'm not going to go through it. But it's okay to ask why. Actually, son, so Habakkuk was real, oops, I must have blown it. I asked him why. I doubted him. And so God says, actually, son, I'm glad you asked. I want you to know some things and even write them down so the people in the Overcomers class may learn that and keep it simple. The defeat of your enemies will take a little while, but hang on to this word I am giving you. My children must live by faith. Even if it takes time for the answer to come, it will come if you stay in my word. Remember, they think they are attacking you, but I'm bringing your enemy to them for their defeat. You see, in the future, my son will die on a cross, and that has disarmed all evil. Habakkuk said, why the cross? Of course, he didn't really say that. I just said it for him. Then Habakkuk gets a vision from God about the enemy's defeat. Awesome. This is actually what the Amplified Bible says. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, set the wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. God's brightness was like the sunlight, rays streaming from his hand, and there in the sun-like splendor was the hiding place of his power. I saw him defeat the enemies in my vision. Wow. Habakkuk learned that his pain is actually not for his defeat, but is God's trick on the devil. He said, I heard God, I saw the vision, I experienced his presence, but now, while things still look bad, I'm still hurting. But by faith, even if things look bad now, I will continue to rejoice because I know that the word of God will come through and my enemies will be defeated. Praise God, I can't lose if I what?
Stay in the Word.
Stay in the Word. Page 2. This is a period of time when the Babylonians or Chaldeans are kind of one and the same in the story. Did indeed finally inhabit Israel and take the people captive for 70 years. Habakkuk starts out by asking why. God answered his questions and used that dialogue to record as scripture to encourage you and I. God finally thanks Habakkuk for asking the questions and tells him to write the vision of what he learned so that you and I could be encouraged when we were going through tough times, especially spiritual warfare. We experience satanic warfare every time Jesus speaks a fruit-bearing seed into our hearts. Look at John 16, just as one example. Jesus said, just before he went to the cross, "These things I have spoken to you, disciples, that in me you may have peace. But in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God got questions. It's got a little brief summary here. Let me read it. The book of Habakkuk begins with Habakkuk crying out to God for an answer to why God's chosen people are allowed to suffer in captivity. Lord gives his answer to Habakkuk, essentially saying, "You wouldn't believe it if I told you." Habakkuk then follows up by saying, "Oh, okay, you are God, but still tell me why about this, why is this happening?" And God answers him again and gives him more information, then tells the earth to be silent before him. Then Habakkuk writes a prayer expressing his strong faith in God, even through these trials. It's quite a conversation. I was telling Carol, I said, Habakkuk must have had a pretty clean conscience because you don't have that kind of conversation with God with having some sort of a cleansing in your conscience so you can hear him and talk to him. I think he was quite a guy. Habakkuk's complaint. This is the New Living Translation. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in the vision. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery?" Habakkuk said. "Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by a people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed. There's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so the justice has become perverted." I think he was looking at two things. He was looking at Israel's rebellion and the judgment that God was sending to the Babylonians. The Lord's reply. I don't think I'm going to read every verse here. He said, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I, God, am raising up the Babylonians, Chaldeans, a cruel and violent people. They will march again across the world and conquer other lands." Let me just take a break here a second. You might want to write this verse down. It's not in your lesson. Psalms 92:7 says, "When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourished, it is so that they may be destroyed forever." When all the wicked spring up like grass, all the workers of iniquity flourish, it's so that they may be destroyed. Isn't that interesting? That's what's going on here. Verse 8, their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey, or they come all bent on violence. Their hordes are like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them. They scoff at kings and princes. All their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against the walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone, but they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. God's initial answer was astonishing. He said to the prophet that he is raising up the Chaldeans and causing them to do this thing. Between Habakkuk chapters 1, verses 5 through 11, God tells Habakkuk, "Terrible, greedy, proud, and strong are these Chaldeans." But in verse 5, he tells Habakkuk that he is putting into effect the work in your days that you would not believe it, even if he told you. Paul quoted him in Acts 13:41. Notice here that God is telling Habakkuk that he has designed a what? Ambush. The Babylonians did attack and for a time they did prevail, but the end of it was their destruction. 70 years of captivity, and then they were destroyed. Same with Mystery Babylon that's now controlling the world. If you look at Revelation 18, it's going to be destroyed. I don't know when, next week or 50 years, I don't know. But it will be destroyed. Right now we're living in Mystery Babylon as ambassadors to bring the kingdom of God in. Okay?
Not just in the United States, but all over the world.
All over the world.
The world governments.
The world government.
Babylon, aren't they?
Yeah, Mystery Babylon.
That's
right.
We see the political dilemma here.
Jesus' crucifixion was an ambush. And we are walking in obedience to the Lord. The enemy's attack on us is also an ambush. The Bible is full of ambushes by God. Ambush only works for the enemy's defeat if, like Jesus, the proposed victim is righteous. This also applies to us as our spiritual enemies. As they attack us, and as we walk in his light, repenting our way through life, those enemies will be defeated and lives will be saved. So Habakkuk comes back again, and now he's got a second complaint. Oh, Lord, my God. Now, this is pretty risky to talk, I mean, for him to talk to God like this, you know? He's having a real conversation, and he knows it's God talking to him. My Holy One, you who are eternal. So he praises him there. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out. Oh, Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent when the wicked swallow people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and be killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest? And then Habakkuk said, whoops, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post, and there I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my what? Complaint. Can you see Habakkuk saying, talking to God like this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he says, whoops, I'm going to get back here and wait. But God says, come on, buddy, come on. I can use this conversation to talk to people in the Overcomer's Class. Yes, yes, yes.
But really, that's what God calls us to do. He really wants us to talk to him.
Yes.
As if though we were talking to one another.
Come on.
Because by talking things over, even with your neighbor, your family member, it's like you finally understand truth. And whenever you just sit and you talk to God and let God answer, you have such a peace. And you can actually identify the lies of the enemy so much quicker, so you can overcome it.
What advice do you have for people that have that kind of contradiction? What do we have to do to have that kind of contradiction?
Well, you need to pray, and you need to get in the Word, because the Word is the truth, and it is what quickens us to know the truth. So it is. Just, you know, it doesn't matter. My sister-in-law quite often tells me her journeys of going to work, and she sits and talks to God going to work. And, you know, turn the radios off. Get in tune with what God's got for you.
Right. I agree with everything you said. And in addition, I would add, in my life, I have to get before God so he can straighten me out. If I feel any sin in my life, anything that is blocking me and God, I've got to get rid of that. If I've hurt somebody, I've said the wrong thing, but whatever. You guys with me? Got to get that out. Where was I? Habakkuk's? Okay. I will click down at the bottom of page 3. The Lord's second reply. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. The Lord answered Habakkuk's questions without upbraiding him. That should tell us something about God's character. Also, the Lord took the opportunity to minister to others who have the same questions, but they were too shy or to ask, or maybe they'd not even thought about asking. He told the prophet to write the vision so simple that in their rushing around, they could understand. In other words, he said, don't make this complicated. Just put it on a tablet so the people that are running by you afraid, here's the deal. I believe there is so much terror, perplexing confusion going on that even believers need something simple and quick to hang on to. We need to understand God's plan and his ways, lest we get caught up in disaster. He said that even the elect could be deceived. He said that when all these things are coming about, consider the season, the fig tree, and know that your redemption is drawing near. This example of how God informed Habakkuk about his ambush plans is something we can hang on to. Then we start with the Lord's words against the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read some of the scriptures that I've got highlighted. Verse 3 starts with the visions for a future time. It describes the end and will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, Lord said, for it will surely take place and it will not be delayed. Look at verse 6 that's highlighted there. But soon their captives will taunt them. Look at verse 8. Because you have plundered many nations, now all the survivors will plunder you. He's talking to the Babylonians that are going to come attack. He's saying, you're attacking, but what I'm doing, I'm bringing destruction on you. You got me? You with me? Verse 16. But soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come, drink, and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will turn to shame. You cut down the forest of Lebanon, now you will be cut down. You destroy the wild animals, now all their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. Verse 18, what good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a god with a small g that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to the wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid on page 5 with gold and silver, but they're lifeless inside. But the Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth be silent before it. Now, apply that to what's going on now. God damn. Hang on.
Good morning. Good evening.
I have a question about verse 7. It says, suddenly your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have while you stand trembling and helpless. Now, this is God speaking to the Babylonians.
That's right.
And this has already taken place to the Babylonians, right? So how...
This is future. This is a prophecy.
But didn't it take place with the Chaldeans at that time?
Right now, it's still a prophecy.
Okay. But my question was, how do the debtors take action? Does a Bible address that?
I don't know. I can't answer
that. God just said it would. I didn't look that up. Yes.
You know, when you go back and you look at the definitions of the Babylons, this here is sin. It's talking about shame. It's talking about pride. It's talking about unforgiveness. Because that's really what it is. And even on the question where it says that it says suddenly your debtors will take action. You know, the thing is when you go back and you look at the Babylons in Hebrew, it means confused.
Confused.
That we are confused because we don't understand truly who we are and truly what blessing we have. Yes, we will go through trials, but guys, trials make us stronger. It makes us be who we are. When you look upon and for instance, a rich man, he's still trying to get richer and richer and richer and richer with his own power. Very, very few people.
Where does he end up?
He ends up in hell and alone and not happy. You go back and you study a lot of these people, they are miserable. Money never made them happy. And the thing is as for me, when I read this, I have to take that word Babylon and I have to replace it with the sin or the pride or the shame or the unforgiveness that's in my life. And it has to speak volume, because it's truth that God wants us to weed all that out. Otherwise, the people that we're going to come in contact with, they're not going to see the fruit that they need to see in us for the future.
Yeah, that reminds me of Revelation 18 when Jesus talks about the downfall of Mystery Babylon. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, because she's going to be destroyed and she will destroy you. A little part of your life is in it. Just a little part of your life. That's why we need to continue to be convicted and repent. Right? We don't want to be part of that. Yes?
I think you're right on regarding that we need to continue to be convicted and repent. I think perhaps for me the heart of what Habakkuk wrote was speaking of God saying, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. That seems to be a common theme with the prophets also, as other prophets address Israel themselves for not taking care of the poor, using the law to cheat others. Fast forward, not much has changed in present day. And, the Lord is saying this also regarding Israel's enemy. It's just interesting to me what a holy God we have, and that he's willing to be in the midst of every action on earth.
Amen. I keep getting reminded of the book of Revelation when I read this because of Mystery Babylon. And I got saved reading it.
Larry, may I say something?
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy for all of us to say, okay, this is the Old Testament, and we live in the New Testament, we live totally by grace, and yet we know that everything in the Old Testament, the Jewish teachings, are for us to learn and to appreciate the grace that we have. And nothing has changed. People are pretty much the same kind of human nature. Psychology is all through the Bible. Human nature, nations rising up against nations, people having prejudice and killing and hurting. I mean, we could go back to the Garden of Eden where Cain killed Abel, and we can see that, this murderous thing that the devil has going on is all over the world, and it's something that we try the best we can through governments to try to control, but hatred is in the heart of people. So we get back into the Old Testament and we get back into understanding that there are principles that God instituted. And I'm so reminded of you. You grew up in Los Angeles and you never knew that there was a Ten Commandments. And in Sandy Springs, you had a precious Jewish friend from New York, and you were walking down the sidewalk, and he told you all about the Ten Commandments. And you said, what? You mean there's an absolute? Well, Jesus didn't do away with the absolutes. And all of the lessons in the Old Testament are for us to take and learn on how we can appropriate them today and what we can do. And when all hell is happening and everything is hit the fan, we can praise God, can't we? And we can be accountable for our own selves and how we treat people and how we love people. Because we can't be accountable for the governments of this world. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable what happens in countries. I'm thankful we live here, but even then, there's human nature everywhere. And we have to just say, Lord, I'm going to praise you in the storm, no matter what. And I'm going to thank you that I can pick up my word and I can learn, like the sister said. I can learn about you. The word of God is a labor. Labor means a washbowl. We need to confess our sins every day and ask God to forgive us of those selfish things that we all have. Every one of us has. And the Lord cleanses us every day, doesn't he? And he brings us into that place where he says, come here, I want to talk to you. And I mean, it sets inside of you a jubilant praise. And you want to sing hallelujah, don't you?
Thank you. But when you get, Amen. Amen. That's praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we've got to remember something. I've said it once, we're going to kind of go into it again here. There are two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of the world with a capital W, Babylon, mystery Babylon, and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now only partial here. We're ambassadors. It's like if we go to Russia as an ambassador, unless that makes it easier, let's go to Egypt as an ambassador. We're not Egyptians, but we're there representing the kingdom that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So we're ambassadors to this kingdom of the world. What for? Why do we go through trials? What's our purpose here? To bring part of God's kingdom into our realm of influence. What is our realm of influence? Different for everybody. But I can tell you this. There's a little bit of the kingdom here, a little piece of the kingdom here, 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 there, in Liberia, in Egypt, in Russia. And when the Lord sees that all the peoples of the world have been reached, he's going to, that's it. And the whole kingdom's going to come in and wipe out Mystery Babylon. Actually, God's not going to wipe out Mystery Babylon. They begin the self-destruction, if you look at Revelation 18. In the soul. But remember, we are ambassadors. That's why we're here. And when we go through trials, it's so that we'll have that anointing to bring somebody else into the kingdom. Does that make sense? We got to keep that purpose in mind. We want to think it's about us, and part of it is about us. We do suffer. We do go through things that wake us up in the middle of the night. But like Colossians 3 says, 3:2, keep your mind on heavenly things, not the things of the earth. And you'll do what Carol and Tina and Barry, all the people. You'll stay in the spirit. Okay.
Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I share one thing
with you?
Please.
I'll give you back on what you're talking about. The biggest thing that come to mind whenever Carol shared what she did, such a good word, but the Ten Commandments. We are under grace, but they do show us what we're doing right and wrong. Because the first part of those is keeping our eyes on God. If you go down through those commandments, you can kind of match them up and go, do I have anything else before my Father? Am I giving him time? Am I, you know, not... going against him and slandering his name. And sometimes we slander his name just by the way we act.
Amen.
And so, and then the latter part of that is the way that we're to treat one another.
That's a big deal.
And when we look at treating each other, we've got to get past looking at people's faults and start looking at what God has got for them.
Come on.
Because
that's a big deal.
If you look at those, we're to honor our mother and father. We need to be proud of who God chose for our mother and father. And a lot of times it's kind of hard for us to get over, but we have to realize God didn't make no junk. He made you who you are to be the testimony, to teach the people and touch the lives of every person you're going to come in contact with. You said that we all had something different going on. We all got a different mission, a different walk, and it's because of our upbringing and stuff that has given us the ability to do what God has called us to do. And if we realize that we're not walking in problems, we're walking in testimonies for our future, for the next day that we're going to wake up and what we're going to face, we can all probably tell the stories of people that we've come in contact with that have had the same identical stories, but yet either A, you overcame and you're able to minister, or B, they overcame and they're ministering to you. So you have to choose, what do you want to do with your life and what you want to do with what you've learned? Because we have to take away. And I keep thinking about how they kept having to go around and around the mountain. They had to keep going around that mountain because they wouldn't learn. They wouldn't take away what God really wanted them to take away. And if you're in a place to where you notice that you keep going back into the same problem again and again, you've got to start paying attention to what puts you there and why does God want you to get out of that. Because he's got a journey, and we have two choices. We either go the long way around or we're going to go the short way. If we go the short way, we're going to go right into the blessing that he has for us.
You know, when you talked about us being ambassadors, you know, we're ambassadors, of course, because we've asked the Lord's Spirit to come into our hearts, and he's living within us. But the thought just occurred to me when you said ambassadors, that churches should be like embassies planted into the world's landscape, representing the kingdom of God. And that an embassy's purpose, I mean, like if we were in a foreign country, everybody knows this, if there was some sort of uprising, we would go escape to our United States embassy because that is the United States, that property. So if the church could more, we could view ourselves as embassies of safety and love for ourselves and for other people. And just the whole thing you're talking about, mystery, Babylon, we are in a foreign land.
Right.
I mean, this world is a foreign land. We are citizens of heaven. But, you know, I'm going to...
No, you're right.
But thank you for bumping me into that.
Larry.
While we finish this up, who was that?
Larry.
Yep. While we finish this up, I want you to think about one thing. Hang on. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what she said, when you're an ambassador, right, you live in the embassy. But when you leave the premises of that embassy, there's still expectation to behave like a citizen of that country.
Amen.
You don't lose your behavior just because you leave the premises. So as an ambassador, you have to be of that citizenship at all times, 24 hours a day. And that's what we have to do. You have to be of the kingdom of God
24/7. That's right.
Before, I want you to think about something while I'm finishing this last page. You know, we talk a lot about God speaks, like in Mark chapter 4, it puts a seed in our heart. Talk about that all the time. And Satan comes when? Immediately to steal the word. But if we go and we stand and we stand and we stand, it bears what? Fruit. What about? I really believe this. What about this word that God trusted with Habakkuk? That he put in his heart as a seed that mystery that Babylon would be defeated. Maybe Habakkuk's cooperation with this bore the fruit of Babylon actually being defeated. Maybe he was the man. God always needs somebody on earth to talk to so that things can happen on earth. Maybe Habakkuk was so important to God that that's why Babylon was defeated, because this man believed. By faith. He took it. Now look how much faith he had in this last page. Habakkuk's prayer. In the Amplified Bible, verse 1 and 2 say, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet set the wild, enthusiastic, a triumphal music. Can you just say this? He's dancing, man. Lord, I've heard the report of you and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years. Make yourself known in wrath. Earnestly remember love, pity, and mercy. He said, I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands, where there's awesome power is hidden. This is what God showed him. He gave him a vision. Verse 5, pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and leads the eternal hills. He is the eternal one. I see the people of Cushan in distress, the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Was it anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth, the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands to mission. Verse 11. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With his weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses, and your mighty waters piled high. That's a prophecy. He said that by faith that it would happen. Habakkuk's final praise, verse 16. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Everybody should memorize verse 17 and 19. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, there are no grapes in the vines. This is so personal, Carol and me.
I know you were thinking.
So personal. 35 years ago. I don't know if I can read it. No grapes in the vines, even though the olive crop fails. And the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Yet I will rejoice. Will everybody say verse 18 with me? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign God is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Close it.
Specifically for our police, our nation.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Andrew, would you like to pray?
Father God, we just thank you this morning. Father, we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, in the midst of all this that is going on in our nation right now, the killings and the shootings, Father, we still come to glorify your holy name. Because we know in you we can find peace. In you we can find comfort. We can turn to you in all this adversity that's going on. Father, we just come to you that you withdraw us unto you, Lord, to find the solution that you have for us, that you give us the wisdom to come to you to solve these problems, Lord. Father, we don't have the solution, but we know one that has all the solutions, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you now that you will comfort all the families of the police officers that were wounded and the ones that were killed, and even the people, the other victims of this violence. Father, we pray that you touch their families, Lord. And Father, we pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding to be with this nation. Father, we just thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. And as we go to your house of worship today, you will open our minds to hear your word, able to do your will and direct our path. All our steps, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.